Hello and welcome into the KE Report. I'm your host, Shad Markowitz, and I'm speaking today with Eric Wetterling, also known as the Hedgeless Horseman. We'll put a link to thehedgelesshorseman.com down below so you can follow along with Eric's work. And because, Eric, we've talked in the past about how you approach your portfolio as far as a value investor, whether that's looking at the alpha plays versus the beta plays at different points in time, having a nice mix of those, the value shuffling within your portfolio. We've kind of hit those topics pretty hard in the past. I think today we're just going to dive into a couple companies that you think have some interesting value proposition set up, some interesting catalyst and news on tap. And the first one is a company we've brought on the show before, and that's Magna Mining. It trades on the TSXV under the ticker NICU. And it's put out a resource, you know, about a year ago, had a big move in the stock on that because it surprised the market when the Crean Hill came out. They already had the Shakespeare deposit previous to that. So they have two projects, two deposits, lots of pounds in the ground, but the share price has sold off in a pretty big way over the course of this year. So what's your take on Magna Mining now as far as how it's set up, the value proposition, and as far as the news on tap?
I mean, I just think it's, yeah, one of the biggest no-brainers. I remember it's like when they did the MRE for Crean Hill. It's like, I mean, I thought it was cheap based on Shakespeare already, especially when price had gone down quite a bit. And then they put out the MRE and it's like, whoa, this is a lot larger than I thought. And it's, you know, in the same area of Sudbury, Canada. I mean, that's beyond tier one jurisdiction. And yeah, the resource was large. And they've just since then, they've drilled and showed that, hey, this is a very high quality resource. I mean, to me, it's an absolute no-brainer. This is why I love this sector, because I don't see many sectors where you can buy this amount of sunk costs and de-risking, et cetera, for a price like this. I mean, I think it's now probably over a year ago or so. I think nickel prices were around 23,000 per ton or something. Now it's like 21, so not a big change, but they put out an MOU, I think, you know, non-binding, with Mitsui, which is a big conglomerate. And the indicative terms in that MOU implied a value of the Shakespeare deposit alone, not the Shakespeare project as a whole, but the deposit alone, indicative value or implied value of 64 to 100 million Canadian. And I think management thought that was actually too cheap. They didn't want to dilute it at that implied value. And that's why I think mostly that nothing really became of it. But it's like, if we take that at face value, Magna pretty much is, in Mitsui's eyes in that case, at face value, giving away Crean Hill for free. And Crean Hill is much larger than Shakespeare. It has, like we saw recently with the news, high-grade nickel and PGM starting near surface and semi-permitted because it's a past-producing mine. It is just absolutely incredible. And still, we're in obviously the risk of the depressed sentiment environment where it's like somebody might say, it's like, oh, there's not too much nickel in all of those holes. First of all, it's the PGM-rich zone, and that also makes the company itself, like especially that asset, internally diversified, because at FNX Mining, which there's a bunch of guys from FNX Mining, which was, I think, was the top-performing stock on the TSX back in like 2010 or something, they switched between mining the PGM-rich stuff and, you know, maybe copper-rich stuff and the nickel-rich stuff, depending on what the price for the metals were. So they were maximizing their cash flow. So it's like, at face value right now, if we believe Mitsui is not absolutely brain dead, Crean Hill is kind of pricing in a 0% chance of ever being worth anything, meaning ever getting into some kind of free cash flowing production. I would say personally that it's, I think it's closer to 100% chance than 0% chance. And I don't have no idea what, you know, the market participants, like, you know, the marginal investor is thinking, but that goes, of course, for many juniors right now. All of the above average quality juniors are kind of dirt cheap. This just happens to be one, you know, in tier one in my book. And it's like the risk, they have resources. They can't drill away the resources. So it's like, it wouldn't matter. It went up on these drill holes. But it's like, how much does that change it? It doesn't really change it that much. Just it just highlights the fact that Crean Hill for sure is probably worth quite a bit of money. So it's like, it's a market with amnesia. It's like, oh, I'm pricing away that Crean Hill is worth anything. And then you get results like this, which obviously, I mean, if these holes were drilled somewhere in a remote location where it's like 5, 10 years away from ever producing anything, that could still be material news. But in a case like this, this is highly material news. And then, you know, the market kind of, oh, right, you know, they have Crean Hill and it's looking good, etc. It's just absolutely mind-blowing. It's like, I love this sector for a simple reason like this. It's daylight robbery. You can legally steal stuff on paper and you won't get a visit from the police.
I like that, Eric. It's daylight robbery. Well, and you make a great point that the market has amnesia. We see this all the time, not just with Magna Mining, but just in a general sense. There are tons of companies that were previously drill plays in the past, went out, had very successful drill programs. They were the darlings of the stock market. They go out, they de-risk their project over a period of years, they do all these drill programs, they build out a huge resource, and the stock's doing great. And then in poor sentiment, that stock will pull back down by 30%, 50%, 60% or more. And the ounces in the ground for gold or silver or the pounds in the ground for base metals didn't go anywhere. It's still the same great deposit it was when the price was two or three times as high, but now everybody believes there's something wrong with it because the latest drill result didn't impress. Maybe just speak to that concept of how quickly people have amnesia of all the value that's already been built and only focuses on the myopic recency bias, like what happened on the last drill hole. And so really sentiment can shift so strong in the sector, but eventually all those pounds in the ground will get revalued again.
What would it cost? How long would it take to redo what Magna already has? So if nickel and copper and PGMs in Sudbury, Canada is ever going to be worth anything, by definition, pretty much Magna is cheap because it's the most advanced junior in those metals. And if all those metals turn to crap or those metals in Canada is never going to be worth anything, sure, you know, theoretically, I could lose 100%. But it's like this, the asymmetry in the risk reward is just, in my opinion, absurd. And of course, people will start to appreciate the value when price goes up, because that's how people react. They think that, okay, if price has gone up 100%, that must mean that the project is getting better. No, you're just paying 100% more for it. Now it's like when price goes down, the price to value gap goes up, it just becomes a bigger and bigger no-brainer. But I don't know. It's for some reason, that's not how people work, because it feels comfortable buying something which you're seeing other people buy. And if it goes down, you get the feedback that's like, oh, somebody wants to sell this. And you have no idea why somebody wants to sell anything. I mean, first of all, I have no idea how people can sell high-quality juniors at all right now, but they still do. And that's why you can make a lot of money, because those are not rational people in my book. At the end of the day, everybody's heard the term, you know, buy low, sell high. But I mean, in reality, it's always sell low because you think, you know, it could always go lower, and buy high because it could always go higher. So it's like my mindset is, I mean, I hear people say, let the trend be your friend, the market is always right. They say, I just take a complete opposite view. It's like, if you're a, you know, trader and waiting for the trend to be your friend, I mean, when the trend is your friend, let's say a falling knife catcher value investor, he might be up 50 to 100% on a big position because he sees it's so low risk. When you as a trader is getting in, and you might get, you know, a 30% pop on your position. But like, if you think that, hey, you know, this is so cheap, so the risks are chronically to the upside. And of course, the lower it goes, it can only go down 100%. But how much it can go up is like, I mean, theoretically infinite. But it's like in this case, I mean, I can't come up with a much de-risked project, better management team, skin in the game, you know, right place, right time. You see even steel makers take positions in Canadian Nickel Junior. So it's like, I have absolutely no idea why Mr. Market or what Mr. Market is thinking right now. And it's just one of those interesting things. If this sector didn't get so no-brainer cheap and then go to no-brainer expensive, it would be a hard time to make money in this sector. It's like, I just assume the market is always clueless, because if I'm right and I'm a buyer, I'm going to make a lot more. And worst case scenario, if the market is always right, I still paid a fair price. So I think it pays off in that sense to be a contrarian. But to me, it's like, I don't see myself as a contrarian. I just think I use common sense.
Yeah, Eric, I think that's just the history of investing is that if it's going down, people assume something's wrong, even if there's nothing has fundamentally changed. If it's going up, they feel like something exciting is going to happen, even if nothing has fundamentally changed. So we see that all the time in all sectors. Mining stocks are no different, just maybe more extreme in the moves. Well, as far as, you know, looking for companies building value, alpha plays, what's another company that has your attention right now that you think has something exciting on slate for this year?
Well, I think Western Alaska is one of the more interesting exploration plays out there. It doesn't really have margin of safety. So it's not like, again, like Magna Mining more or less has margin of safety and alpha potential. That's why, I have a big position in it. And Western Alaska, although they don't have a resource, but they have 450 meters approximately of CRD strike up in Alaska. And they are about to test. I think they're going to start drilling in June. Or they might actually have started drilling. So they're going to do some infill drilling and also to get to an inferred resource where they've already made hits. But they're also going to test the last hurrah trend, which looks like the continuation of the 400-meter zone they've already hit. And like they stated in the news release, the last hurrah is the potential to double or triple strike. And that's just one snake, let's say, in that whole CRD district. So I think if they get proof of concept that, yes, this is the continuation, if they double or triple the strike, I think they already have a mine there. So that's why I see Western Alaska as a reasonable, pretty good shot at actually passing critical threshold for, like, you know, what would be development worthy and actually a potentially valuable mine. So they're not there yet with the 450 meters of strike. I don't think that alone will be a no-brainer to actually develop. But if only Last Hurrah works and nothing else in the, you know, district really, if they don't hit anything more, but just Last Hurrah, I think that kind of immediately will put them in the, like, yeah, you could pretty much say that this is probably going to be a high-grade CRD mine one day. So I expect, even though there's no guarantee, but I think they have a pretty good shot of actually going from a discovery to, like, almost, you know, you can be pretty sure that, hey, this is actually a significant deposit already. And then all of the other blue sky, including, you know, potential porphyry targets, that's just, you know, cream on top, let's say. So I like the risk reward in that one, even though, yes, at face value, they don't have the margin of safety. I just think there's a pretty good chance that the Last Hurrah will be a success, or at least some other place there, some other target will be a success, and they do end up crossing that critical threshold where it's like, yeah, all of a sudden, this is a valuable mining project.
Okay, so you think there's a value driver there for them to expand what they've already got, get it to that critical threshold, bring in more eyeballs, bring in more investors, because they've already proved they have something, and CRD deposits being polymetallic and being quite economical to mine are of interest right now for people to find new CRD deposits. So you get a little interest in the fact that that kind of a deposit is trending right now, especially with some of the CRD deposits we've seen people hitting on in Nevada and in other areas getting some attention. CRD deposits in other jurisdictions could bring attention to those areas. Anything else as far as another company that you think's got a good drill program, a key catalyst coming up, a key milestone, anything else you want to highlight?
Yeah, I think Tectonic Metals is in a somewhat similar situation, not as de-risked, but they are going to be drilling the Flat Gold project. And this will be the first drill campaign since 1994, I think. It appears to be a reduced intrusion related gold system, kind of like, Snowline and Fort Knox, etc. So it's like the previous drilling, I think there's been 55 holes to an average depth of like 100 meters. I think all holes hit significant mineralization. I'm not talking barn burners, but there were some really good holes. But that's like the first target. That's like a 4 kilometer long golden soil anomaly. So it's like, I don't know exactly what and how they're going to drill it, but it's like, okay, average depth, 100 meters, pretty much every hole hit mineralization. I think 50% or something actually ended in mineralization. So it's like, if we could forward the tape a bit and let's say they do some 400 meter holes, and who knows, I mean, given the hit rate so far, what happens if they hit on some of those 400 meter deep holes in, you know, let's say widely spaced area? All of a sudden, that's like, could go from, hey, nobody has touched or done anything here, to all of a sudden it's like, whoops, okay, they were scraping the surface of a massive system. So I think that's also one of those that could have a quantum leap potential, albeit perhaps not to the point where it's like, you know, there's going to be a mine there because it's remote in Alaska. But it's like, I think that the perception of tectonic could shift a lot if they hit on some of these longer holes, because for the first time, it's actually going to be tested what's like, okay, what is the actual potential of this 4 kilometer trend? And they have some other targets as well, but I don't know if they're going to be drilled. But that's like one of those cases where it's like, I can see a reasonable chance of the perception of tectonic changing a lot, that it could go from like a $30 million Canadian junior to like, whoa, okay, they hit on these step outs, etc., like 0.67 or 1 gram per ton. I'm just, you know, theoretically here. And all of a sudden it's like, hey, okay, this might actually be another Fort Knox type system. And if we go into a, you know, better sentiment environment where like blue sky potential is rewarded, because we know it's like, in high sentiment environment, people are only thinking about how they can make money. And now, right now, like in the case of Magna, people are just looking for excuses to sell, because they're, all they worry about is not losing more on paper.
Yeah, so with Tectonic, it's really more of a true exploration program to try to find out, prove the thesis, see if they actually have that kind of a system in place. And we'll just have to follow along with the drill results to see what the truth machine comes back with. But that could be a stock that moves just based on it being a drill play. So a couple ideas for people to consider there with Magna Mining, Western Alaska, and Tectonic. And we appreciate you sharing these ideas just for people to at least mull over. Of course, people should go do their own due diligence. We're just talking shop here and talking about a couple of companies that have Eric's attention right now. So appreciate you sharing those with us, Eric, and always appreciate you coming on the show. Looking forward to our next conversation.
The same, Shad. And again, consider me biased. I own shares of all three companies. Magna Mining and Western Alaska are banner sponsors, so consider me twice biased.